St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show, The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on the second day of May, 2023. Marianne Hamilton is with me today, Miss Senior Universe. You always will be, even though someone else gets to share your crown now, Marianne.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to be here this morning.
Thanks for coming in today. How are you feeling? Everything good?
Well, I feel okay, except the allergies are just hellacious right now with all this wind and the wonderful water we've had. Things are blooming nonstop.
We're not doing a commercial for Flonase, but my brother and now you tell me Flonase is where it's at if you have allergies.
Lifesaver.
Really?
I'm not a paid spokesperson.
Right, right.
It really made a huge difference. I went from crying nonstop and sneezing and continuously and not being able to see, wanted to claw my eyeballs out. And within about an hour or two after I snorted some Flonase, everything was just bearable. And it's really helped me control that this last week.
There are people like me a little paranoid about, like you said, snorting it, but putting something in your nose. But you said it's really not a big deal.
It's like one quick, that's it. And
really?
And it doesn't, you don't taste it, you don't smell it. It's just a really easy thing. And it's a really quick way to absorb it into your system, which is really helpful. Yeah, I'm going to have to.
With my brother recommending, I'm like, okay, maybe I should. With you saying do it, maybe it's not a should anymore. Maybe I will go do that.
It makes a remarkable difference, I have to say. And I tried another brand, and all it did was burn my nasal passages and just maybe sneeze more. So the Flonase really actually helped quite a bit.
So my parents lived in New Harmony for 14 years, and we had the allergies that I'm having right now hit in May in St. George, but they don't hit till June or even July up there. So we used to go visit them every week in New Harmony.
So you have a 3 month window.
I'd be sick, and I'm like, oh, it's finally over at the end of May, and then we go up there, and it's just starting up.
Not fun. It looked like it was foggy this morning because there was so much dust and stuff flying around this morning when I woke up.
I did some checking into it, and the only theories I have heard from people is there was a big fire in North Las Vegas, a junkyard fire, which because of the wind, it spread really fast and got really big.
Right.
And I'm wondering if maybe the wind blew some of the smoke from that fire up through the gorge and into our, that's the only thing I've been able to figure out.
It looked really gray this morning around 6:30, quarter to 7 when I woke up.
As a health expert, do you have any recommendations for?
I think if you're susceptible, this is probably maybe a day to stay indoors and maybe not, try and go out and get that last Iron Man training in. Not a good day.
I will say this. Yesterday, I was the allergy thing. I was itchy, the whole thing. I got home, and when I went into my house, remember, all our air conditionings and heaters and everything, they have these really cool filters on
them.
And it does make a huge difference. My allergies went from a 10 out of 10 to about a 2 out of a 10 by just going and staying in my house for the, the afternoon.
And being aware of, Sunday we golfed at Dixie Red Hills, and it was beautiful, but Cottonwood was flying like snow. It was just crazy, and we're all sneezing. Yesterday I was doing laundry of the clothes I was wearing on Sunday, and I started sneezing again because they were covered still in Cottonwood stuff. And so just be aware that it's kind of a difficult time of year right now, and make wiser choices about, being outside.
Anybody that manages a pool or owns a pool knows the cotton is a bane. It is a bad thing this time of year. It gets in your filters and gets all over your pool and stuff.
As they told us when we were training for our first marathon, cotton kills. That was more like, don't wear cotton when you're training.
But, oh, I see. Oh, my God.
I did not know that. Yes, we're wicking clothing that will wick the perspiration away from your body. But don't wear cotton because it just gets wet and hangs and gets heavy and slows you down.
I played pickleball yesterday for a couple of hours.
Good.
Wore a cotton shirt. Not a good idea. I was soaking. It was soaking wet, and you could tell the moisture had nowhere to go except for to soak into the shirt.
And it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Yeah.
So it was a good workout, and I appreciate my friends Kelly and Sandy for playing with us. And
how are your feet doing?
Okay. Yeah. I can't run like I used to, but
none of us can. It's okay.
Good point.
<It's> okay.
Good point. Well, Marianne is here to talk fitness with us a little bit. One of the things that there was a news story yesterday And it's a, what's one of those stories, duh, but the, a new study shows that yo-yo dieting is incredibly bad for your health, not only for your body, but for your heart. It's really bad on your heart lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain. That's what I call yo-yo dieting. Mm-hmm. And so I thought maybe we could spend a few minutes, Marianne started the show talking about that. We both know a lot of people who have gone, you know, it's the latest thing. Try this diet or try this diet or try
paleo,
these pills.
Try raw, and, try yeah, fruitarian, blah, blah, blah.
And they lose weight and then they gain it. And a lot of times they gain more than they had in the first place as soon as they go off of whatever it is they're on. So it seems like to me the obvious thing, to, just right off the top, is to pick a diet, not even a diet, but a lifestyle that is something you can sustain, something that actually can you can keep doing, because if you just say, oh, well, I'm gonna stop sugar completely, that's really sustainable.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I think we should probably step back and talk about just dieting in general. I mean, it's a huge multi-billion-dollar business. The estimates were that by the end of last year it was a $246 billion business in the U.S.
Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, that's all the Jenny Craigs and the Weight Watchers and Nutrisystems and all those kinds of things that basically want you to buy their food. It's huge. And if you think about the average, if somebody wants to lose more than a few pounds, if you lose 11 pounds by using Weight Watchers, it's going to cost you $755.
Really? Yeah. They've got a number on it,
do they?
They
have a number on that. There's a drug called Orlistat that if you're taking that, it's $2,730 for a weight loss drug. I mean, it's huge business when reality, we have the ability to do that, you know, for free ourselves by making just lifestyle changes.
Right.
And the diet, you know, the raw diet, the, fruitarian, whatever, paleo, those things are a sort of a temporary fix. But all the research shows that basically after a year, one in three of us will gain, you know, most of the weight back.
Yeah.
After 5 years, it's all back. And then some, usually.
Yeah.
And I've had friends actually who've even gone to the extreme of having gastric bypass or, you know, tummy staple or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that is supposed to prevent you from ingesting large amounts of food, but yet they still found ways to get around that and gain the weight back, which I just think is remarkable, because that's a huge investment of money and time and health and being down.
Yeah, putting your life at risk.
Putting your life at risk.
I had a guy on, an expert on weight gain after a weight loss surgery, and he said there's We try to put our finger on it, exactly why, because the statistics show 90-something percent of people that have the weight loss surgery gain the weight back. And he said, people try to pin it on one thing or whatever. He said, it is so complicated. I mean, you're talking about genetics. We're talking about psychology.
Right.
We're talking about just simple things like, you know, how does food make you feel?
Yeah.
And things like that. And so it's such a complex arena. I think what you're talking about with the lifestyle change is really a big key. These people that have surgeries, they do have lifestyles. I mean, you have to go on a certain diet before they'll even do the surgery and things like that. But, you know, how permanent are these lifestyle changes? Who knows?
You know, the sad thing is that, you know, 13% of the world deals with obesity. In the U.S., it's 35%.
That's triple.
That's a third of our population is dealing with obesity. And it's not hard to see why. I mean, Doug and I live at the south end of town, down by the Dixie Center. And you go down Dixie Drive, and it's wall-to-wall fast food places. All of our main drags are just, you know, fast food. And they're all full, you know.
Right. It's not like they're not getting business.
Right. And I get it that, you know, that's a more economical way to, if you have a family of seven, it's a whole lot cheaper to get a big bucket of, you know, greasy fried chicken than it is to get, you know, chicken breasts for each member of that family and beautiful vegetables or, you know, fish or something. I understand that completely. But what's the trade-off?
One of the things, I have a friend who's from out of the country, and he came to visit, and he said, I couldn't believe the portion sizes in the United States of America. He says, we don't have, where I'm from, you don't, when you finish a meal, yes, you're full, but you're not like, uncomfortable, full. He says, I try to finish my meal when I go to, say, Applebee's or wherever, and I can't even finish it. There's so much food, I can't even finish it. And if I do make an attempt to finish it, I feel terrible.
Well, that's why, those to-go containers are really a huge deal. I mean, in most other countries, a portion size is basically the size of your fist, whether that's a piece of meat or helping of vegetables or pasta or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice, healthy, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 bites. But if you are mindful about, and it sounds really airy-fairy, but if you're mindful about your food and take the time to enjoy it and, cut up the pieces and enjoy them slowly and enjoy the flavor and think about what you're consuming, you will feel much more satisfied than just, snarfing down this huge plate of stuff, sure.
I remember this was probably, 1981 or something. We had a friend of the family that this young lady, and I was 15 maybe, but she came and stayed with us. And I remember my sister made, and back in the day, they didn't have instant pudding. We had to cook our pudding on the stove. Right?
Yeah.
And so my sister made pudding, and she put, there were three or four of us there, put them in a bowl. And being a 15-year-old male,
give me the bowl and a spoon.
It was gone in 8 seconds.
Right.
But this girl that was staying with us, everybody had finished except her, and she still had half a bowl left. Mm-hmm. And she was taking her time eating. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because I'm a dumb young guy. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I really like pudding. I'm like, well, yeah, wouldn't you eat it fast then if you really like it? And she's like, no, I really like pudding. I like to take my time and eat it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lesson that day. I'm like, huh. So if you like something, you shouldn't hurry and eat it. You should take your time and enjoy. I had no concept of that as a 15-year-old boy, as you might imagine.
Doug and I have had this joke for, the 23 years we've been together, that when we first went to a movie together, I would say, I'd like a small popcorn, no butter. And he would say, well, let's just get a bucket, share it. No, I don't. I will share my clothing, my house, whatever, with anybody. I do not share my popcorn. And he said, why? And I said, because I like to have one kernel at a time and make it last throughout the entire film and really be able to savor it and enjoy it. And where he's like, putting the hand in.
And you throw it at your face.
And it's empty before the credits are over at the beginning of the movie, And that's just kind of the way I like to enjoy food.
That's good. That's a good way to do it. Although a little bit of butter, teeny bit. No?
Well, but that toxic sludge that they make it in the theaters anyway. If you've ever
seen really
that,
butter.
Yeah. It's not really butter. So there's already enough stuff on there flavoring, and then you put some salt and
That's a really good point. I found this online. How do you break the yo-yo diet cycle? And the first one, we've been talking a little bit about it, but make your diet a lifestyle. What does that mean to you, Marianne?
It is finding healthy, nutritious foods and making that commitment. Okay, I'm going to enjoy this, but I'm also going to do the other part of it, which nobody wants to hear about, which is you need to exercise also. It's so important. It's a two-pronged approach, and you just really can't have a successful outcome with your weight loss unless you're actually, increasing your exercise as well and burning some calories at the other end. It has to be a lifestyle.
It's a good point. I had someone tell me, I don't know if it's true or not, maybe you would agree with this, and no amount of exercise can outwork a bad diet.
Oh, I don't think so. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's going to catch up with you, whether or not your, caloric intake is too high or your sodium intake is too high. I mean, it's going to catch up with you at some point. Mm. And, I think when you're young and you're, playing college football or high school football, and you can run around the track a million times, and you're going to be fine. But that's as you get older, your body needs to feed the machine properly, or it's just the hubcaps are going to fall off.
I have a friend who he is a little guy. Mm-hmm. The most he's ever weighed in his life is 138 pounds.
Lordy!
And in order to get to 130, he had to eat like a pig, and then build muscle, because muscle can be relatively heavy.
Yeah.
But he said after a while I couldn't work out as hard as I wanted to, and I ended up losing the weight, and I was down to 130 again. I'm like, oh, how would that be? Holy cow.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you, guy. Well, another part of that, and I think this is a big one, Marianne, mm-hmm. is don't be too hard on yourself.
Absolutely.
We are so, yeah, you know, oh, I ate something I shouldn't have eaten, or, oh, I missed an exercise day. We get down on ourselves pretty easily, don't we?
We so do, and that's I think that's what the whole yo-yo dieting, that's what happens. You know, you go on the diet, you think, okay, well, it's summertime, I need to get in my bikini, I better, you know, lose some weight, and then, oh, there's some pudding. I think I'll have that. And then you fall off the wagon and think, oh, well, what the heck? I might as well just, you know, stay off the wagon. And
I blew it, so I give up.
I blew it, exactly. Mm. We've talked about that before. But, I mean, there are things to think about, except that, you know, your ideal weight may not be possible. I mean, I interviewed, actually, Jenny Craig years ago for a magazine article.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that a lot of people come in with very unrealistic expectations back when they had the actual walk-in, you know, weight loss studios, and they would, like, a woman would say, gee, my niece is getting married, I want to be a size 6 and get into this dress, and she'll say, well, have you ever been a size 6? And the person would evidently say, no, I've been a 14 all my life. And she says, well, maybe let's get you down to a 12, maybe that's more reasonable. And so have reasonable expectations. Also, maybe your body mass index, which is supposedly the big, you know,
right,
standard of what you're, where you should be, maybe that's not entirely, you know, don't compare yourself to somebody else. Everybody has different bone structure, everybody sure. has different nationality, height, whatever. So, you know, don't always go by BMI. And, you know, the truth is that some people just aren't meant to be super thin. You know, if people have bigger frames, bigger bones, different lifestyle, that's okay. Doesn't mean that you can't be fit and healthy. You can still be exercising and have a strong heart, a strong cardiovascular system,
right.
Even if you're not, you know, twiggy.
One of the things that bothers me is the kind of, they don't even do it overtly, but the body shame that is out there.
Oh, horrible.
Where
especially for teenage girls.
Yeah, if you're a size 12 or 14 for a woman,
yeah,
or maybe your waist is 38 or 40, if you're a guy, mm-hmm. then, well, you're too fat. You don't belong in our society. You don't belong on TV. You don't belong on whatever.
That's just foolish. That's just foolish. I've really been appreciative. One of the catalogs I like to shop from is called Venus, and they've since January they've started incorporating bigger frame models, and it's really, really refreshing to see, like, average size women modeling their clothing, and I think that takes a lot of courage in the fashion industry for sure,
mm-hmm.
and having more realistic portrayals of what women look like, what men look like.
Well, even nowadays you have women with relatively average bodies in pretty good shape,
mm-hmm.
and they'll Photoshop them too. They'll cut an inch on each side of the waist or whatever, and it's unbelievable what they do. I wanted to ask your opinion on cheats, on cheat days or cheat mm-hmm. meals or cheat food. Is that when you're on a diet, when you're watching your weight, when you're trying to be good, is it okay to program that stuff in, or should you avoid that?
I think it's actually really healthy. I think if you deny yourself anything, it just becomes this obsession, you know, whether it's, you know, anything in life, food, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever. If you deny yourself something all the time, you're going to be, I mean, there are certain things that you probably should avoid, like smoking. But I mean,
yeah.
A cookie once a week, you know, if you program that into, like, here's my reward, that's not going to hurt you. But the you know, the key is don't make that a daily thing, or don't say, well, I've had one now, maybe I'll have the whole package.
Don't get down on yourself.
Don't get down on yourself, exactly. Hmm. But I think it's, we're human. We deserve to have a reward after we've worked hard.
I wanted to ask you, now this is an area I know very little about, so I'm going to let you talk about it. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit.
Okay.
One of the tips is pay attention to your gut microbiome.
Oh, very, very, very.
What does that mean, and how does that factor into how we do things?
Yeah, there. Your gut actually is loaded with all kinds of germs, and not, mm-hmm. that's not something that you should kind of go about. I mean, those bacteria help you digest food, and when you do that yo-yo dieting, weight loss, weight gain, weight loss, weight gain, you're throwing your body into a complete uproar, and those bacteria get kind of freaked out, and they'll stop digesting your food the way that they're meant to, and you can have all kinds of digestive issues, and you could have anything from, you know, impaired heart health to depression. It has a lot of impact on both your physical and mental well-being, so you need to keep that gut health really, really consistent at all times.
What do you have any recommendations, ideas on how to make that work? Because most people are like, "Wait, I have what in my what? What are you talking about? How can we keep that healthy? What are some ideas?"
Avoiding really, really highly processed food. We talked about that, I think, a couple months ago. Those things just wreak havoc on your system. So if you have, you know, a diet that's high in fruits and vegetables and lean meats and lean protein, it's really, really going to keep that at a really consistent, you know, sort of calm, regulated level. If you throw a bunch of junk in there consistently, your stomach doesn't know what to do with all that stuff. It's just like, how do I process this? This isn't something that's found in nature. It's, you know, we've also talked about when you go to the grocery store, shop around the periphery, because that's where the groceries are. That's where the produce is and where the, you know, the meats are and things. If you go into the middle, that's where all the processed foods are.
Right.
And that's the stuff you maybe want to avoid if you can.
Well, and if you think about, say, meat, I mean, I still believe protein is a big
yes.
part of our diets, but yeah. You know, choosing, say, maybe a chicken breast and cooking it the right way versus buying some chicken lunch meat or chicken nuggets or something like that could make just a huge difference.
Actually, for weight management, there's been a 2020 study from the British Journal of Medicine basically said people who had maintained their weight loss the most ate more protein than those who sort of rejected
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, protein. I mean, your body needs protein. It's like the muscle building, fiber building, you know, element that you need. And if you go without protein, a lot of vegetarians they struggle. Unless they're having massive amounts of, you know, soy or something like that, or
lots of
tofu,
beans.
Tofu, yeah,
peanut butter,
beans, yeah. So it's really important, animal fat, but it should be, you know, the lean beef, lean chicken, lean fish.
So we're kind of talking to folks about what, you know, yo-yo dieting, how bad it can be, some ideas on maybe how to. Instead of just going on a diet, but actually changing your lifestyle. Marianne has an idea, a particular lifestyle change. We're not going to call it a diet.
Nope.
A particular lifestyle change that could be very advantageous to you. What we're going to do is we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Marianne is going to enlighten us. We're here with Miss Senior Universe 2022. And part of 23 because of the COVID and everything. Marianne Hamilton. We'll take a break and be back with more with Marianne after this. Welcome back. It is 9:35 on KDXU. Thank you so much for tuning in today, the Andy Griffin Show. We're not just about politics. We talk about tomorrow. Dr. Blodgett is on the show. We're going to talk a lot about vaccines and why it's troubling. You know, Dr. Blodge is like, look, I understand there are certain people who have a problem with the COVID vaccine, whatever. If they want to have their problem with that, he says, whatever. But he says things like the DPT and all those that are proven cures to modern diseases that were killing people. You may have a problem with the COVID thing, whatever. Get these other vaccines for your kids. Because these are diseases that should never come back. We have the cure to these diseases. And we'll talk a little bit about that with Dr. Blodgett tomorrow. Yeah, Marianne says, hooray. Yeah, I agree. I'm a religious person. One of the things I believe is God helped to cure some of these things. I mean, he helped to inspire doctors and researchers and for us to turn it, well, I'm religious, so I'm not going to take any of these things. That's stupid. That's just not smart. So you're older than me, Marianne, but as a child, I remember polio and you know,
we had
people losing
sugar cubes and the vaccine. Yeah. Yes.
People losing the ability to walk and things. We had a president that lost the ability to walk. And it's like, we cured this, you guys, you know, I mean, think about this. We cured this and
it
all that
be coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And all these, there has been zero proof of some people say, well, I've heard that, you know, getting the vaccine may cause, you know, autism or something. No, there's zero. There's anecdotal evidence at best. So folks, get your vaccine. But that is not why Marianne's here. We're not going to talk.
I've had my vaccines. I'm very happy.
She is shot up.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Do you get the flu one every year, too?
Every year.
I do, too. Yeah. I feel like they help. And I know there are, you know, what, like 40 different strains of the right. flu, but they try to get, basically the flu vaccine is basically vaccinating you against the top two or three most common mm-hmm. ones. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you may still get sick. You may get one of the other ones, but why take the chance if you can, you know, $20
flu vaccine. Haven't had the flu for several years, and I've, you know, knock wood, I haven't had COVID, even though Doug had a mild case of it. We slept in the same room.
You never got it.
Never got it. Wow. It was amazing. And he had sniffles, a couple coughs for about 2 days. He was still out running, and he was totally fine. But I'm sorry, but I certainly believe that our vaccines and our boosts really contributed to that health level.
Yeah, I think, you know, and that's a topic that may never be settled completely, but I know people, and I had the vaccine, mm-hmm. I had a booster. We had COVID before uh-huh. that, and I don't want to get it again. I know that because it was not
fun.
Pleasant.
Not fun.
In fact, I remember somebody asked me about it, and I said, well, it wasn't that bad. My wife said, honey, you literally wanted to die for 2 days.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't remember that. And she's like, well, that's a cool thing about our bodies and our brains is we...
It's like childbirth.
We block away the right. stuff that's really right. bad. Yeah, it's like a woman. Why would you have a second baby after you know what happens on the first one, right?
Yeah.
But they do. Mm-hmm. And my wife, in her case, had five to full term, so, yeah.
My niece had violent morning sickness for 9 months straight.
Really?
And, you know, all day. And she's an attorney, so she'd have to run out of court and go out and get sick.
Excuse me,
exactly,
Your Honor.
With the first one. And she said, okay, I'm pregnant again. And same thing happened the second time.
Oh,
and
wow.
Oh, my God. But, you know, she was willing to go through it to have two beautiful daughters.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That she is. It's funny. My wife had morning sickness with our first one really mm-hmm. bad. Didn't really have it too much with the rest of them.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So we have, you know, we have five children. But, yeah, I remember pulling off the side of the road anytime. Honey, pull over now.
Now.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah. So we're here talking about trying to live a healthier lifestyle. We talked a little bit about yo-yo diets and how, you know, getting the latest fad diet, losing 10 or 20 is not good because it's going to come back once you go off of that diet, and how important it is to change your lifestyle. One of the alternatives, maybe I'll let you go ahead and introduce it and talk about one of the cool alternatives.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's the Mediterranean diet. I'm going to say it's the Mediterranean lifestyle.
Lifestyle, yeah.
And it really was. It's just a way of thinking about food, thinking about life, thinking about being, you know, active and sort of. Just being a healthier, making healthier choices, I guess. It is not surprisingly ranked number one by the U.S. News and World Report's best diets of 2023.
Hmm.
Mediterranean, because it's so easy for people to adhere to. It's not thinking about, you know, I have to have X number of calories, or I have to have this portion size, or I have to have, you know.
Like every diet you've ever been on.
Right.
Yeah.
This is just make really, really good choices. And that's, you know, what is it? It's basically, it's consuming the fruits and vegetables and protein that are found, you know, on the countries that border the Mediterranean Sea.
Okay.
So that's, you know, Italy, Croatia, Greece, Lebanon, Turkey. And those people obviously have very, very different foods that they eat, but they kind of adhere to a similar sort of philosophy about their food, which is consume food that you grow, consume food that you can catch or you can raise on your farm, on the mm-hmm. land, and then don't have a bunch of other processed stuff. And
right.
and that's pretty much it. It's not that difficult. It's basically a plant-based diet with you know, wonderful herbs and spices, seafood, produce, just sort of different varieties, and really, really nutrient-rich foods that are, you know, consumed pretty much all the time. It's a really effective, it's a simple approach, but it's really, really effective. And the benefits are that it really, really reduces the risk of things like cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and it really, really promotes a healthy, long lifestyle. It's also in combination with exercise. People in Europe tend to not, you know, jump in their cars as we do here in the U.S. as much. They either take public transportation or they walk. They walk everywhere. And that really, really makes a huge difference in, you know, how they're getting through life. So the Mediterranean diet is cool because it's family friendly. Basically, everybody in your family can, you know, eat your meals together without a lot of modification. It's budget friendly. It's not terribly expensive. You can find pretty much everything at your local grocery store and doesn't require a lot of really expensive or specialty stuff like maybe those Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, those kinds of things do.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do it at home. It's you can make it vegan or vegetarian friendly. You can be gluten-free if you need to be if you're celiac. It can be kosher friendly. It's basically adaptable to all different kinds of lifestyles. And it's just, you know, use wonderful things that you can grow and lean fruits, lean meats and proteins and fill your plate with a whole wide range of cool stuff.
One of the top foods on the Mediterranean diet is white fish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, white fish, wild salmon and tilapia.
Tilapia, yes.
Two of the big ones on there.
Mm-hmm. You want to have at least seafood and fish at least twice a week, which is a really good thing, and especially okay. the fatty fish like salmon and mackerel, which I'm not my favorite, but it's good for your brain, has really good properties for your brain. Eat fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, olive oil. Oh, olive oil is a really important thing.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Extra virgin olive oil is actually the number two on the list mm-hmm. of top 10 foods on a Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
Why olive oil? What's the difference between that and just, you know, vegetable oil or whatever?
Yeah. So olive oil has these great antioxidants and things in it, but that's only present in the... So basically, olive oil is made when they squeeze the olives up, you know, which
sure.
makes sense.
Olive press. Yeah,
olive
that,
press.
Yeah.
And it's the first pressing when it's called extra virgin. That's the very first time that the olive oil is, olives are pressed. You get these, you know, great nutrients in there. And the more it's pressed over time, if they press it again and again and again, you're losing those great nutrients that feed your brain and are really, really good for your body. So you want to have extra virgin olive oil if you can find it. And it's you know.
And that's what the extra virgin means?
Exactly,
it's from the first pressing?
The first pressing,
whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the healthiest form of olive oil.
Is there a non-extra? Is there just a virgin olive oil? I don't know. I've always heard it extra virgin.
There's just basically olive oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it doesn't say extra, EVO, I think it is. It's not not the higher content for you. So that's what you want to have. Poultry, eggs, cheese, and yogurt are okay in moderation. It's fine. People say, oh, I can't have cheese. Yeah, you can. You know, just have it in moderation. Red meat and sweets, basically occasionally. Occasional treats and then occasional glass of red wine. I know that's not, you're not a wine drinker, but those people.
I like grape juice.
Okay, there you go. You can have red grape juice.
Except in America, we put sugar, a lot of sugar in it.
So basically, there really isn't a, you know, one specific Mediterranean diet because the Greeks are going to eat differently than the Italians do and from the people in Lebanon. But it's, again, that focus on plentiful, abundant, you know, nutrient-rich foods that you can find easily in the grocery store. And also low fat, which is really important.
I have a story about... I knew a lady. She was from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
She had me do something. I think I've told this story before on the show, but she had me do something for... I think I cooked for one of their little get-togethers they had.
Okay.
I'm a barbecue, so I barbecue stuff for them. And she was like, just going on, oh, thank you so much. They're so kind. This is so nice of you. And I said, don't worry about it. Maybe you can give me rice and beans sometimes, you know, and maybe a nice Mexican meal. And later on, I was talking to my wife about this, and she goes, well, you know, she's from Spain. I'm like, yeah, so Spain, honey. I'm like,
different.
Well, she's Spanish. Wait. Oh. And then it hit me. Okay, she's probably never been to Mexico or Central America where they have the tortillas and the refried beans and all that stuff.
They're eating shellfish. And
yeah, yeah. It took me a minute. Well, obviously more than a minute to go, oh, yeah, right. Spain is a little bit different than Mexico, even though they both speak Spanish.
Very, very, very different. Very different.
But I did learn from her that, if I want to get free food from her, it's not going to be rice and beans and tortillas.
Definitely. Well, the thing that's really wonderful about adhering to this kind of a Mediterranean lifestyle is that it has so many just great, great, great benefits. The downside is almost nothing. It basically reduces the risk of heart disease and stroke. It can prevent cognitive decline and dementia. Because your brain's getting those great antioxidants and all the things that you need.
Yeah.
It can prevent type 2 diabetes, and it can help ease depression, believe it or not, when you're eating a healthy lifestyle.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It makes you feel better.
Will you talk about the nuts a little bit? I think there's a lot of people that go, well, nuts, yeah, give me some peanuts. and peanuts are legumes.
Peanuts are fine.
But they're fine. But
don't eat the dry roasted ones with all the junk on them, right, or the honey roasted. Yeah.
With the toffee and so what are the best nuts that you're aware of to go after if we're on the Mediterranean diet?
Yeah, you'd probably want to have almonds. Almonds are really good.
Okay.
Hazelnuts, unfortunately, I'm violently allergic to. And that's a big part of Italian
culture.
You've
never had a Ferrero Rocher or whatever they're
called? No, not for many years. It makes me very, very sick. And what's the chocolate hazelnut stuff that I can't think of it. I'm Italian. I should know this. Anyway, it comes in a jar.
Nutella.
Nutella. Thank you very much. Yes. That will put me in the hospital like in a half an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I did not know that.
Hazelnuts are a big, big part of Italian culture, and I just can't quite, it doesn't work for me. Anyway, so hazelnuts are good for you. Brazil nuts have kind of the same effect, but not quite to the same degree. Walnuts, cashews are actually really good. They're high in fat.
I have some right over here, as a matter of fact.
They're wonderful for you. But again, it's moderation. Don't have the entire can of nuts if you have a handful,
That's exactly what I do. I try to, if I get the munchies, I'll grab a handful of cashews.
That's much better for you than grabbing a handful of,
M&M's.
Well, I try to compromise by having the peanut M&M's, but have some nuts inside,
At least there's nuts in there.
There's nuts inside.
Let's get a quick commercial break, and we'll talk more about the Mediterranean lifestyle. That doesn't mean you have to go live on a boat or anything like that, or in a cliffside a hovel, but it's how you eat and how you behave, and of course, how much you exercise. Walking is big. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 9:51. I'm still fighting those allergies. We talked about it. And it kind of gave me some Flonase, although when you told me how much it was, I was like, oh.
It's not cheap, but it's worth it for me.
It's worth it, I'll do it. $30. Let's go back to exercise a little bit. We talked about the Mediterranean diet and the fact that, let's face it, modern America is pretty sedentary. You're at work all day. I'm at work all day. I'll just talk about myself. I'm at work all day. I'm on the computer. I'm sitting in this room on this chair. I'm on the air live. After I'm off the air live, I'm doing commercials. I go to meetings. I make phone calls. It's all right here. I don't move pretty much. I get up once an hour and walk around. That's it. And then I go home, and what do I want to do? I'm tired. I want to put my feet up, right? mentally I'm tired. Physically, I'm not really that tired. But when you're mentally tired, that's almost as bad. What can we do, Marion? Do you have some ideas for us, for me in particular, but for all of us to get us moving more?
Gosh, that's a loaded question, Andy. It really is. Yeah. I mean, I'm the queen of walking, race walking queen. Being the race director for the Huntsman World Senior Games, I'm certainly a proponent of race walking and power walking, but also just, human beings are meant to be ambulatory. We're built to walk.
Yeah.
And that's something that doesn't require any kind of skill, but it's the most basic thing you can do and the easiest thing for a really healthy lifestyle. We were talking at the break about Europeans who look at us and think we're just crazy because we get in the car to go two blocks to the grocery store, to church or whatever. And they would get, put on their walking shoes and go and just, propel themselves forward. And I think that's just the mindset that we have to get into. And we certainly live in cities that are spread out, so it's difficult to get to the grocery store, it's difficult to get to the dry cleaner or whatever. And of course that makes sense when you're hauling groceries back and forth or a big load of laundry or something, but the average thing, just getting outside, we all need that 30 minutes of exercise per day. Mm-hmm. 150 minutes of exercise per week of moderate exercise for basically maintain your healthy lifestyle. And that's not that tough, It's just being outside and enjoying fresh air, especially right now when the weather is so beautiful, aside from the pollen.
Flonase is going to fix
it. The Flonase will do it. You can manage it.
So getting out and walking. Now, there are people like me that have a bad back, have a sore back. Walking is hard for me. I get out after about 10 minutes. I've got this knife in the middle of my back.
Yeah.
Do you have any other ideas? Would a stationary bike maybe, or
could be
maybe swimming, I guess.
Swimming is terrific. Walking in the pool is so forgiving.
I do that, yeah.
It's so, I mean, the water is buoyant. It you know, supports you. You weigh, I think, one third less in the pool than you weigh on land. So it's easier to move. You know, think about yoga, think about stretching. There are all kinds of things that you can do that don't require, you know, physical acuity that, or, you know, you don't have to be an athlete to do it. It's right now this week, we're all sort of tuned into, you know, Ironman coming in on Saturday and seeing all these incredibly fit, beautiful athletes on the road training. And it's kind of hard to not compare yourself to them and think, never.
You should have seen a guy I had on yesterday. Ryan Cooper is the race director. The dude, I think he has like 1 ounce of fat on his whole body. I mean,
0%
he was just
body fat,
he was cut out of stone, it looked like to me. And I'm standing, he wanted a picture with me. You know? I'm standing next to him. I'm like, I look like the Pillsbury Doughboy next to this guy. I mean, wow. You know, so it is easy to get down. It is easy to get depressed and down on yourself. But gosh, I failed here, or dang it, I had a McDonald's shake and I wanted it really bad and I did it, and now I'm a failure and I suck and
not.
I hate
you're
things.
You're a human being, you know, and just get back up on the horse or the bike and ride again the next day.
Yeah,
don't get down on yourself. We are all humans, and we don't always do exactly what we're supposed to do. But if we have the awareness that maybe that wasn't the best choice to make, that's half the battle. And then just move forward.
Mary, I'm going to ask you, Mary, what is your food, your culinary weakness? Is there something that
weakness.
Is really bad for you that you go, I'm not going to eat this, but I'm going to eat this because I can't help myself?
It's probably the movie theater popcorn.
Yeah. No, but you said you don't put any stuff on it.
I don't, but it's trust me, Andy, it's pretty horrible in its natural state for sure. And then the other one is M&M peanuts.
Okay.
We have those in a, you know, in the freezer in a plastic bin, and it's really easy to just kind of grab a handful when you go through the kitchen. But I feel like I'm, you know, maybe getting a little bit of protein there with the sugar, so it's not quite as bad as it could be.
I grew up, my grandpa was a baker. He owned five bakeries throughout northern Utah, and unfortunately, I have somewhere in my DNA when I see a pastry.
You must consume it.
I can't help
myself.
You have
to consume it.
And, you know, they'll bring free donuts in or whatever to work here, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, why do they have to be free? Why do they have to be here? Why? That's the way it goes. That's my big weakness. So it's a pastry.
You know, never really. I can walk away. Cookies, peanut butter cookies. I'm sorry, chocolate chip cookies are like,
ooh.
Yeah, that's
how about chocolate chip peanut butter?
That's the
even better.
That is the death combination for me, for sure.
Mike McGarry, who had this job before me, we would travel on road trips doing sports together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. We would get to our destination, you know, say we drove for 6.5 hours and we're finally there. And we would hit a convenience store before we would turn in for the night. And invariably, he would buy chips and nuts and pretzels and all the salty stuff. I had no interest in any of that. I wanted, a pastry, a cookie or a donut or something. And it's funny. I would be like, oh, man, Mike, I can't believe I'm... And you're eating this good stuff for you. And goes, good stuff? I got a bag of Lay's sour cream and onion, you know.
What's the sodium content in that? Yeah, that's
so
scary.
Yeah, we had we all have our own battles to fight, I guess.
And we have a different palate, you know, and that's fine. And that's what's so cool about the Mediterranean lifestyle is that it gives you a big, big range of really good stuff to choose from. You don't have to have a limited, food supply.
Do you feel like the Mediterranean diet... you talked about it just for a second. Financially, though, is it something that we could work into our budgets that really won't cost any more than what we already are buying?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, certainly some of the cuts of meat, some of the cuts of some of the fish is pricier. But you can offset that by having a whole lot of vegetables, which are, you know,
cheap.
pretty cheap for sure.
Yeah.
And, whole grain rice, whole grain pasta, those things are pretty inexpensive as well. And that's a really, really great supplement to the diet for sure.
My wife is really into smoothies. Can that fit into the Mediterranean diet at all?
Sure, as long as you're, you know, cognizant of not putting in 400 pounds of sugar,
right.
chocolate
and
syrup, and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
She never puts any sugar. She does put in some fruits to as her sugar, like she'll put in strawberries or raspberries or
the best
banana
the best.
Or whatever.
That's the best. So. And think about, you know, fruit as your dessert. Also, you can maybe even saute it with a little bit of honey or something. That's think about fruit as being a treat versus, oh, it's, you know, fruits and vegetables I have to have. But, you know, fruits in their natural form are just, they're such a treat. They're just wonderful. I like nothing better than a big, giant, cosmic crisp apple.
Nice.
They're so good. It's like eating a candy bar for me.
Replaces Snickers, I guess.
Maybe not. It's a good second for sure.
She's Marianne Hamilton, always advising us here on the Andy Griffin Show on how we need to do better, but not in a mean and preachy way.
No, you're not.
You're
I want everybody to
you're
be
giving us
and
some
happy.
Good alternatives.
I've been there. You know, I was thinking this morning. I started high school at 148 pounds, and I'm only 5'2", so I was a pretty curvy girl. And I know what that's like.
And now she weighs like 18 pounds. So,
no.
Well, maybe not 18, but you're pretty thin. So
97 with a rock in my pocket.
She's Marianne. Thank you, Marianne, for coming on today.
Thanks, Andy. It's been wonderful.
It's quite a pleasure. We'll be back tomorrow. Dr. Blodgett. Talk to you then.